So if you're horrified by U.S. munitions being used to murder children in Gaza, Mallory McGraw thinks you're responsible for attacks against synagogues. How is this any different than what MAGA says about it? Dude, can I just... I just wish I could control the DNC for like 2 weeks. This guy's entire grift would be annihilated in one good interview. If anybody knew what they were talking about. But nobody has any clue, and they can't. And he could just endlessly virtue signal on this issue that he doesn't know anything about. It's crazy to me, because Democrats cannot mount an effective position on anything.
You have every right to express your frustration at the Democratic Party, or should we actually offer unlimited fealty to the Democrats, even if they're actually doing things?
Oh, the options are, can we criticize the Democrats, or do they deserve unlimited fealty? Oh.
So you thought someone's opinion on Ukraine was too ambiguous, and therefore you were willing to throw the race in the direction of someone whose take on Israel is unambiguous?
It's not even vote blue no matter who. Even on their own side, if you are not the most pure motherfucker in the universe, they will not support you.
Oh! 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 Woo!
No. Are you releasing it was called?
And that's a dub.
Wait, that's 3 for 3? The Democratic Party machine. In the blue stronghold of New York City was thoroughly defeated tonight.
We're on the DSA ship right now. We got Claire Valdez. We got Daria Lisa. Let's go! I've been drinking slightly.
What a fucking night, ladies and gentlemen.
Three glasses of wine, three glasses of wine.
Hold on.
Alright,
hey, after tonight my price went up. You have to be a Democratic Socialist if you want some of this fucking shine.
He really thinks he's the one. He did it.
Sorry.
I am at Claire Valdez's victory party where we just got news. The crowd erupted because we heard that Daria Lisa has also won, which means we're 3 for 3. We swept it. We swept all three Sunrise Endorsed candidates. And okay, here's what I'm feeling. When Zoran won, it was a sign of what could happen and what was possible. It told us what we could achieve. Tonight, though, young people have taken over New York City and we're going to Congress. Young people who are unapologetically democratic socialists, who are standing on values and standing up for working people and what we deserve, and standing against the billionaires and the corporate interests that are destroying our future. Tonight marks the end of the bought out boomer corporate establishment Democrats and the beginning of young people actually like taking over and running a government that serves us and our futures and not billionaire donors. I feel so honored to be here. We didn't do this magically. I think Claire's campaign knocks like 350,000 doors, and just like the upswelling of support from young people to be here. We didn't do this magically. I think Claire's campaign knocks like 350,000 doors.
Over what time period? That's a fuck ton. If that's true, that was a big ground operation. If that's true, nice. Jesus.
And just like the upswelling of support from young people is so inspiring to me. And we can do it all across the country. We are doing it all across the country. We need your help this week to elect Malak Kiros in Colorado. If you live there, go knock doors. If you don't live there, we need you on the phone banks. And it is electric to be here and be a part of. Anyway, see you on the phones.
Apparently there was a huge influx of conservative money pumped into those races. I'd be curious to see if that was true. My guess here is the overriding headline is just going to be that the Mamdani endorsement is probably really, really, really powerful. Were there any Mamdani endorsed candidates that lost their race?
I can't believe it.
And
it feels insane. It feels unbelievable. I never thought in a million years
all you freaking sickos out there
that we would be in a situation like this.
You poured over thousands of voter registration files.
It's coming to a neighborhood near you, chat, remember. Join your local DSA, join your YDSA if you're young. Join your DSA chapter. Start a DSA chapter.
But it also showed.
Be the change you want to see.
The driving force behind this campaign. To root out corruption and bad governance, arm in arm with the working people of South Queens. My opponent is not just an AI warrior in a red dress. She is the product of a careless and corrupt system that is so permissive.
It's not just the blue neighborhoods. We're coming to the red neighborhoods too.
The robocall terror ends tonight.
I don't think he endorsed anyone outside of New York, so he's 3 for 3. And then somebody said Mamdani went like 11 for 11, which I thought there were way more than just three DSA races, no? In New York? He literally only endorsed candidates in the districts he won. Sure. But I mean, like, wouldn't you expect him to do that? That's probably where he'd be the most popular, no? Why is that surprising? Am I misunderstanding that?
Richie Torres! Richie Torres, I know you won tonight. I didn't even look at your race. You probably won, you piece of shit. Remember, I was coming for you, but you got lucky this time. But I'll see you in two.
Oh my God, he really thinks he's him. Jesus Christ.
See you in two, motherfucker. I know you stopped talking shit. I know you stopped talking about Israel, Richie Torres. What happened? I'll see you in 2 years, motherfucker. Just wait. Richie, I'm coming for you, Richie.
11 out of 11, including states.
I'm coming for you, too.
This is our city.
You think shit is sweet? Sit on that fucking seat for the next 2 years. I'll see you in two, Richie. I hope you remember that. Every day, every time there's a decision that you can make where you are pro-Israel, I hope you remember.
The Mamdani speech at the New York Knicks winning parade got a ton of good headlines as well, so maybe that got a lot of eyes on his endorsements as well. Oh, maybe.
You got 2 more years, motherfucker. 2 more years. You better act right, Richie. Hey, by the way, I just want to point out that a 32-year-old organizer just took out the fucking Congressional Hispanic Caucus chair. And we have to be with a campaign that the fucking incumbent ran, talking about how she said, fuck Kamala Harris. That's where America's at right now.
Jesus
That's what time
Christ.
It is. Socialism, decade of socialism, it's coming to a neighborhood near you. When I said we were going to let 1,000 Zoros bloom.
The Denver subreddit has been completely overrun by DSA Brigaders. I assume every other subreddit is the same way right now. None of them actually know anything about the policies either. It's really weird. They just spam super PACs, super PACs, super PACs. It is the sloppulism meme, right?
This is what I meant. You got Claire Valdez and numerous other wonderful DSA candidates that are outperforming expectations tonight. And that's because the American people are tired of the same old business as usual politics, the corruption, the ineptitude, the feckless nature of the Democrats that don't want to fight back against the growth of fascism in this country. This is Americans fighting back. It's only the beginning.
Okay, I don't know what I'm supposed to react to this for an ad. I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure the Mamdani endorsement was probably more important than Hassan streaming at New York. But I could be wrong. How do you think the average Democratic voter would see DSA people? I feel like they'd look at all the energy versus the lack of energy behind Dems and flock to the vibes. I mean, it's possible because I just don't know how well the lib left fights against the DSA people. And remember, DSA only attacks Democrats, so the conservatives don't ever really attack them. I don't know where the DSA people advertise as much, though. I know online they can, but I don't know how influential, like, Kyle Kulinski, the Majority Report, Crystal Ball, are over, like, real-life elections. I'm not sure. I don't live on the ground, though, in New York City or whatever, so I can't speak to that media environment as much either. I don't know. Are they, like, I know that primary voters tend to be your more radical voters in the party, so that probably helps a little bit, too. But is there, like, exit polling data for the primary votes for these? You can see the lefties failed in Maryland and Utah. Yeah, but again, I'm pretty sure it's the Mamdani endorsement is probably the really, really big motivating thing. The wake-up call is going to be when any of the DSA people start needing to do anything in government and find out it is much harder than yelling Free Palestine. I mean, maybe. Who knows? We'll see. The DSA. What is this? Results in different areas. Let's see. Older residents voted for... I don't know how to pronounce this person's name. Is it Espaillat? I don't know how to pronounce her name at all. 60 to 30. Younger residents favored Chevalier. 60-36. Chevalier won a little bit with higher income areas. Hispanics broke for Espaillat more. What was the turnout for this election? Because if I was just looking at this, my assumption would be that Espaillat would win. Because older people tend to break... Or I'm sorry, older people just tend to vote more. I wonder what the actual breakdown was if more young people voted for once. So the young, white, rich kids like socialism more. Well, I mean, like, it's not that off here for Black and Hispanic. Like, Black was 45 to 47. It's pretty equal. Hispanic was 40 to 56. Can you explain primaries? Why are they able to run against Democrats even though they are in the DSA? Primaries are just when you have, like, your parties have their internal vote for who they want to represent them in the general election. The DSA are registered as Democrats, so they can run in the Democratic primaries. Are people just overreacting as this was an election in New York City after all? Mamdani has a lot of political capital power. We know that. And then, I mean, a lot of people have feelings about the DSA, me included, that think they're kind of gross. The problem is just there's a whole bunch of, like, really, really bad, nasty political, cultural things that are coming on for, like, socialist-related baggage right now that is kind of like, fuck the West and fuck America. And you don't have any way to counteract that. Most libs just see it as like, oh, it's okay. They're a little bit further left. You don't have an effective mechanism by which to message on your own to signal back against it. And so it feels, as a lib left, it probably feels a little hopeless because you are constantly under assault by the right. And now you've got this growing cancer left in your party that in a lot of ways is actually just fucking insanely unhinged. But you have no way to communicate or fight against any of it. And then everybody's just living in this fantasy world where I think she's just giving like a description and analysis. I don't know how much she agrees or doesn't agree. But it's like A lot of these people are just running on this idea that, oh, like single payer healthcare, we're on the precipice of having it in the United States if we can just get like the evil billionaire class out of the way. But it's not that easy. It's not even close to that easy. So it's just, it's like a overpromise, underdeliver thing repeated over and over and over again, like we just did with Trump. Not to say that it's impossible to get it done. You could. I think people sometimes underestimate how difficult it is to actually iron out these like real policies and everything. I wish pro-Ukrainians could be as unhinged towards the DSA politicians like pro-Pallies have. Nobody cares about Ukraine in the United States. Nobody cares about Palestine in the United States either. It all comes down to your messaging apparatus. What does Ukraine represent? If we think that there is moral clarity on Ukraine, then who do we expect to carry that message forward? Libs, right? I would say it's obvious. That's an obvious overdetermined issue that Russia is the bad guy there. So for Ukraine versus Russia, it should be that the position should be you should support Ukraine. It's just such an obvious position to hold. But that's the thing that's detrimental to conservatives and beneficial to libs, and libs can't message. So absent the libs messaging, you look to the Palestine issue. Well, who does Palestine, all that should benefit? It benefits the tankies, right? Well, the tankies message pretty well for in their spaces. So the tankies will use the Palestine thing to beat the libs over the head over and over again with it. And that's why you only ever hear the Israel-Palestine shit being spoken about, because Ukraine-Russia doesn't benefit the far left people. And there's probably more people on the far left who are a little warmer to that Stalin socialist shit, like who are big figures than maybe we realize. And then the population can continue to be massaged by your subversive political actors until who knows at what point you get through, you know, I don't know. Do you think half those DSA tards would be willing to pay the taxes that come with Medicare for All? I don't know. I've never seen evidence of them for it, unfortunately. Like, again, if you want these big social programs, you need to dramatically expand your tax base. But most of them don't seem to want to have real conversations about taxes. They just exist in this weird delusion of the billionaires can all pay for it if we just wealth tax them enough or something. But again, this is why I'm saying I don't know if they would actually be able to do any of these policies, because everything they do is just kind of like social signaling, and on paper it doesn't really work out at all. Do you still maintain that Republicans are worse, or should we start rethinking that when it comes to DSA types? I don't know. I would have to think really hard about that. I've never really considered like commies versus Nazis before, whatever. They're both like bucketed in the same brand of kind of like weird anti-liberal quasi-authoritarian ideologies. So I've never really thought of like ranking them, but like I would say they're of a similar quality or similar kind of, when I think of like a socialist versus like a fascist or whatever, they're of a similar character to me. So they would be in the same bucket. I don't know which one would be worse or better, but I would consider both to be like existential threats to the United States, or at least my version, my vision of the liberal democracy in the United States.
I'm going to vote. I'm going to engage in electoralism for once. I'm going to engage in electoralism. I'm going to vote for Claire Valdez. I am further to the left, and I normally do not participate in bourgeois elections, but it's the commie corridor. We got to make it. We got to make sure that people see how red this motherfucking commie corridor is all the way from space.
Primaries are how we change the trajectory of the Democratic Party and hopefully change the trajectory of America. Okay.
We're gonna be heading out first to Bushwick, the commie corridor itself, live and alive from the fucking heart of the inflection point of the American communist movement.
This has nothing to do with Zoran's clout. This has everything to do with whether or not democratic socialists can door knock and have the capacity to mobilize against tremendous amounts of money pouring in from outside expenditures. It's an inside out.
Ironically, how can he say that? What's the death toll of those guys he just stated? He's literally a Nazi in spirit, bro, kind of. But there's a couple issues at play. One is that Republicans have spent so long trading on this weird communist attack against Democrats. Like when you see all those polls that say, you know, like, oh, like more people want the Democratic Party to be socialist or whatever. For normie Democrats, I keep saying that Democrats or that socialists in the United States are using like the closer to original definition for socialism. Those are like the socialist types. But for a normie Democrat, when they say they want more socialism, they probably still just mean like, oh, I just want more like welfare, government spending, government safety nets or whatever. Because for so long in U.S. politics, in my lifetime, Republicans have constantly called every single Democrat a socialist and communist. The Bidens, the Clintons, the Obamas just constantly, obsessively use this attack phrase. And we also, I don't think we really learned much about, I didn't learn much Cold War shit or anything in high school history. And if you don't take, you know, if you're not an APUSH or any other kind of IB or whatever bullshit history course, you don't really, I don't know. I feel like we... Like I never learned about the Holodomor in high school. Didn't really learn anything much. For the Cold War, we did like the Cuban Missile Crisis And then we went to the moon. And then it was like the Iraq War in like 91, maybe. And these were like a paragraph each. I don't know if we just run out of time or what, but we don't really learn much about Stalin or Mao or anything else in American high school. So people don't even have like the basic historical background knowledge for any of it.
Outside movement. You obviously have to keep applying pressure with direct action. You have to, you know, engage in labor militancy, work stoppages, things of that nature.
Okay, but there's a huge gap between a generic communist and Stalin. From people like Hassan, no, there's not. These people are championing the way more extreme type. This is why they're Marxist-Leninists and not just sock Dems or whatever. It feels like we've lost destiny. Everyone in my life either wants to worship an authoritarian king or they want to dismantle capitalism and have education camps. I want to leave the U.S. I'm scared. Listen, GTA 6 is coming out. Final Fantasy 7, the final part, is coming out. I'm sure there are other good games coming out. Factorio 2.1, I think, just released. Do you make any distinction between a campus like Hassan versus someone who believes in a progressive economic system that succeeds neoliberal capitalism? I mean, I could. The only issue now that can't be ignored anymore, I've said this a million times, I'm sorry, I'll say it again. People just can't push back against further left things, which makes it hard to accept people that like have like some flirtation with socialist types, because it feels like once you start flirting with that direction, you can never come back from it. And I've seen this play out interpersonally. I've seen it play out online in politics. Now it's kind of playing out over and over and over again, where as soon as you start to slide left, there is no limiting principle on it because people are incapable of fighting people off to the left of them. So I don't know how to, yeah, I don't know. It's a hard bargain to make. It's hard to resist leftist politics as a progressive or liberal because they argue for unfalsifiable concepts that in a vacuum have no downsides. I mean, that's true of right populists as well, right? Like populists in general just have the luxury of doing this.
I normally have a soundboard. I don't have it here, but that's like one of the things that I play all the time because it's funny. But it wasn't funny at the time when she was...
There is... I don't even want to arm you with this. White people, be careful, okay? But I do think that it is tragic from a colorism perspective that for black women especially, there is huge pressure to be lighter skinned or to straighten your hair all the time. I think it's kind of sad that that was like a huge cultural pressure, especially the 90s, 2000s. I think big black singer and everything did it or whatever, all your Beyoncé's and everything. But I will say, anytime you see, especially younger, like black people with like this hair is the equivalent to the white girl fringe when you're about to hear the craziest shit you've ever heard in your entire life. Every time. I don't know why. It's just always the craziest opinions.
I was saying it.
We can barely see it. It's the hair. You can see it. Good enough, boy.
And
what about her being a Muslim convert recently? No, shut the fuck up. No shot. Stop.
That was a moment of frustration for you. And as someone who has voted for Democrats, do you feel like you have every right to express your frustration at the Democratic Party? Or should we actually offer unlimited fealty to the Democrats, even if they're actually doing things?
Oh, the options are, can we criticize the Democrats or do they deserve unlimited fealty? Oh,
yes, you can. They are desperate. They will have to do so much more to atone for their backstabbing base. Now it's time to get back to teaming up with the DSA. Oh, God, I don't care about the fucking progressive victory or that other like a sex pestiny cultist fake door knocking operation that doesn't knock on any doors and only talks about sex pestiny every day. Okay, progressive victory is another one. Yes, they in the last moment try to like rat fuck Claire Valdez and Daria Lisa and claim that they were both like insufficient in their support for Ukraine or some shit. I don't know what the fuck those guys are on.
Just as a quick thing, because I know everybody at Progressive Victory is too far gone. And if my court case is over and I take the reins more on the DGG shit, they will never work with Progressive Victory again. Mark my fucking words. Notice how here, right, when PV wanted to make the softest ask in the world, which is, hey, can we like maybe support Ukraine? For Hassan, what? You want a purity test on Ukraine? Are you serious? For these guys, it was worth it for them to literally throw the entire fucking election on Israel-Palestine. But asking softly for support of like Ukraine and Ukraine-Russia, which is the easiest no-brainer moral position in the universe, that's a line too far, right?
And now he just gives up on them completely.
I don't care. I thought they were fine, but that shit was unacceptable. You know where my allegiances lie, okay?
ML types.
I'm with the DSA. I'm with DSA, the DSA, whatever you want to fucking call it.
It's so, dude, watching him, was it this obvious back when he was on Twitch, when he was streaming with me and other people? He is so clout obsessed. He's like trying to ride those Zoran coattails so hard. It's so fucking cringe. Holy fuck.
And you know, that's it. All these other like outside groups,
they, you know, they can turn around and make weird decisions and try to fucking...
They still endorsed that woman, by the way, just letting you know.
Try to be a thorn on the side of these bold candidates. They just have standards in org for Ukraine. Please move on. Yeah, I'm sorry, dude. Trying to fucking make a mountain out of a molehill in the last moment.
Oh my God. You actually, Rope, dude. What a disgusting fucking piece of shit.
Close races? Well, Claire's wasn't close, but Dottie Lisa's was?
What?
In a video game.
That's unacceptable, okay? Especially because you thought that their take on Ukraine was too ambiguous. What are you, fucking insane? That's why? So you thought someone's opinion on Ukraine was too ambiguous, and therefore you were willing to throw the race in the direction of someone whose take on Israel is unambiguous?
Throw the race? They still endorsed her, by the way. Also, this is why, and libs will learn eventually, or they won't and will be communist, right? Remember, like, it's not even vote blue no matter who. Even on their own side, if you are not the most pure motherfucker in the universe, they will not support you, right? You're telling me that this guy, who's willing to throw out all of progressive fucking victory, which is basically a tanky org at this point, because they gently asked but still endorsed the candidate for a better position on Ukraine-Russia, he's willing to say fuck you to that entire org? This guy was going to support moderate Dems in the general? Fuck off. Fuck out of here. My God.
Where are your fucking standards?
Do you know why he switched from Ukraine to Israel? Wait, did he say? Wait, what?
Opinion on Ukraine was too ambiguous, and therefore you were willing to throw the race in the direction of someone whose take on Israel is unambiguous?
Oh.
Where are your fucking standards?
Retard.
That's bullshit. It's record behavior, okay? Be more disciplined.
Disciplined means unyielding fealty to the tankies.
Anyway, getting back to it. If they lend their support to Mailot's campaign, great. If they wanted me to promote Taiwan, when I interviewed with them, their main concern was my website.
Destiny, they explicitly didn't want to endorse her because of Ukraine stances. Espayet is a piece of shit. We wish Daria Lisa, I don't know, luck tonight despite our strong dissatisfaction with her. I mean, they tweeted other things too, right? Like, I think they more or less endorsed her, did they not? I think they were more than this, no?
Website said cooperation with China.
And they wanted to promote Taiwan. Oh, no.
Ay, ay, ay.
Taiwan?
Yes. If your organization is demanding accountability.
What? Oh, good one.
South China.
That is in line with American Empire, then, you know, you have to really reconsider what you fucking care about. Okay?
Yep. Wait, you
if
hear?
Your organization is demanding accountability that is in line with American Empire, then, you know, you have to really reconsider what you fucking care.
Sure, it'd be cool if anybody in the fucking media, on the mainstream media, knew anything at all about any, like, foreign policy or any of the sophisticated online actors. Sure, it'd be cool if you guys knew a single fucking thing about any of these people and could ask them a real question. Somebody should ask us on, should China own Taiwan? Do they have the right to own Taiwan? Should the U.S. intervene? Hassan will say no. He'll squirm and he will say no. If we stop supporting Israel tomorrow and Israel continues their behavior in Gaza, should we have a Gulf War-style invasion into Israel and depose the leadership? He will say yes. Do you think that Ukraine should be forced to give up Crimea to satisfy Russian aggression in exchange for peace or whatever? Hassan will say yes to all of these things. Did Ukraine... Did 2014 Euromaidan happen because of the CIA? Hassan will say yes. Was USAID mainly an arm of the CIA in order to gain intel and into other countries? He will say yes. Nobody asks him these questions because the only people that fight with him are Jews.
Are you anti-Semitic? Anti-Semitic? Care about, okay? It's ridiculous. Anyway, liberals, man. So,
CNN using Hassan clips to grill Dems. CNN, my favorite lib network.
There has been a lot of support on the left.
Has McMorrow not dropped out yet? I love her,
but she should.
Abdul El Sayed, he's been endorsed by Hassan Piker, who has millions of followers on social media.
Wait, I disagree. He would support China taking Taiwan. He has already... Oh, never mind.
Mainly people under the age of 30. I mention this because he is a very controversial figure. And in March, you compared him to white supremacist Nick Fuentes. Now, Piker spoke to Detroit Public Radio about that yesterday. I want you to take a listen and respond.
There's so much diversity of choice in where people can get their news from, so people can come to me directly and figure out what I'm actually about.
Okay, I do try, especially when I have a mental model, because when you start to develop mental models, you have to be very, very, very careful because you can get stuck on something, and then everything you see starts to play into it. I am aware of that, believe it or not. But, like, I feel like I analyzed the situation, and I feel like I did make predictions about, like, how this stuff plays out, and I feel like it's, like, kind of true. Like, a thing I said over and over and over again is that people like Hassan generally aren't going to be super attacked by the far right, definitely never by the lib left, but they sure as fuck are going to use him to attack other Democrats. But, what do you want me to say?
So that was one of the reasons why that smear campaign failed spectacularly. People started looking at Abdul's campaign. People started hearing what he was saying, and they liked it. And lo and behold, he was in third place before this this smear campaign started, and now he's comfortably in first place.
I want to give you a chance to respond to that.
Certainly. There's a responsibility for whoever we nominate as our next U.S. senator to recognize we have to build and expand a big tent. My opponent made a decision to bring in Hassan shortly after there was an attack on a synagogue here in Michigan, where a man drove a pickup truck into a synagogue where 140 preschoolers were at school that day. And had it not been for the security measures, the bollards in place, it could have been the largest mass killing of kids in this country's history. And to bring somebody in to represent your campaign, in my mind, is a very different decision than going on somebody's stream and talking to their audience.
So if you're horrified by U.S. munitions being used to murder children in Gaza, Mallory McGraw thinks you're responsible for attacks against synagogues. How is this any different than what MAGA says about it? Dude, I just wish I could control the DNC for like 2 weeks, or control whatever or CNN, or be the editor-in-chief. It is so crazy to me. Like, Hassan should be invited onto these shows, and somebody that knows anything about Israel-Palestine should literally ask, like, this guy's entire grift would be annihilated in one good interview. If anybody knew what they were talking about. But nobody has any clue, and they can't. And he could just endlessly virtue signal on this issue that he doesn't know anything about. It's crazy to me, because Democrats cannot mount an effective position on anything. It's all good. The Democratic Party fights progressives harder than MAGA / conservatives. What do they do to fight progressives? Because Hakeem Jeffries says,
don't you know you're just supposed to give up your seat to any DSA member who comes by? Be like, oh, yeah, here, take it.
MSNBC interview for the woman.
It was a huge primary night in New York last night, but no race made a bigger splash than New York's 13th congressional district. It's an area that covers upper Manhattan and parts of the Bronx, where an outsider mounted a challenge against an established member of New York's Democratic establishment and won. For the past decade, New York 13 has been represented by Adriano Espaillat, a man who's heralded as a trailblazer within his community. Before running for office, he broke ground when he challenged black political influence in Harlem and the South Bronx. In 2012 and 2014, he challenged the Democratic incumbent in his district, Charles Rangel, who had been in Congress since 1971. Espaillat lost both times, but finally won in 2016, beating out Rangel's chosen successor after Rangel retired. Espaillat's win was historic. He was the first Dominican American and the first formerly undocumented immigrant elected to Congress. He was reelected 4 times, currently serving as the chair of the Congressional Hispanic Caucus, and he's considered the dean of New York Latino politics. But more recently, Espaillat has been criticized for his support for continued U.S. aid to Israel amid its war in Gaza, and for the support that he's received from AIPAC and affiliated groups. Last night, Espaillat and fellow New York Congressman Dan Goldman became only the 3rd and 4th Democratic incumbents to lose in the primary this year. Now, the 2 others were Texas Democrats who were gerrymandered out of their districts. The candidate who unseated Espaillat is Daria Lisa Avila Chevalier. She's a 32-year-old Democratic socialist who was recruited to run by Justice Democrats, a group committed to finding progressive challengers to unseat Democrats. Avila Chevalier was one of only 3 congressional candidates endorsed by New York City Mayor Zoran Mamdani in this year's elections. And she was his biggest gamble. She didn't have the name recognition or profile of either of the mayor's other handpicked candidates, the former city comptroller Brad Lander and the New York State Assembly member Claire Valdez. On top of that, Avila Chevalier's internet history threatened to bring down her campaign at various points. Old social media posts from a since-deleted account came back to light, including ones in which she advocated for abolishing the police. Some posts sharply criticized Democratic leaders. She once called Joe Biden, quote, a war criminal. And in a 2021 post, she wrote, quote, F. Kamala Harris. During a debate last week, she apologized to Harris after Espaillat pushed her to do so, and she said that she ultimately voted for Harris in 2024. Journalists also uncovered that she attended a controversial rally in Times Square.
Wait, where's my one New York database leak? Is that true? Did she?
One day after Hamas attacked Israel. The rally was described as a gathering to show solidarity with the Palestinian people. Others criticized it for condoning the violence that Hamas had just committed, pointing to chants like, quote, resistance is justified when people are occupied. New York's Governor Kathy Hochul called it, quote, morally repugnant. Zoran Mamdani, who was then an assembly member, stayed away. Brad Lander, who is Jewish, condemned the rally and canceled his membership with the Democratic Socialists of America after the group posted about it. Avila Chevalier has defended her decision to attend that rally. New York's 13th district is solidly Democratic, so barring any other political shockwaves between now and November, she will be heading to Congress. Daria Lisa Avila Chevalier has shown that she can win. Her victory in particular is emblematic of changing tides in the Democratic Party. So now the question is, what will the next chapter of her story and the Democrat story look like? Joining me now is Daria Lisa Avila Chevalier, Democratic nominee for Congress in New York's 13th District. Congratulations and welcome.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
I'm hoping, because you will be a member of Congress, that we will have many opportunities to have a conversation, which means the first conversation is going to be a little tough to get through because you've now moved from a hot part of the, you know, the primary where things are really hot into you're going to be the next member of Congress. And everybody's now looking at you and saying, what is that going to look like? Last night, we were on air when you delivered your speech in which you said, quote, the corporate landlord.
What's the Doomer stuff about the DSA stuff? What do you think they're going to change? It's nothing like with particularity to the DSA stuff. Maybe not even to these candidates, although I guess I'll listen to this interview with her. It's just more the general trend of Americans, especially on the left, have no concept of like what it means to be too far left or like how to deal with communists or sophisticated subversive political actors. And we're seeing that become a larger and larger part of our media ecosystem. And I don't know if anybody's picking up on it yet. That's kind of the scary thing.
And lobbies who powered our opponent's campaign knew that he didn't represent us in this district. He didn't fight for us. He represented them and he fought for them. End quote.
51 minutes in, one of the speakers explicitly condones the terrorist attack. I'm sorry, I'm retarded. I can't hear shit. I don't know. So.
First of all, have you spoken to Adriano Espaillat?
Yes, we spoke last night.
Okay. How'd that go? Because there's a rift in your district at the moment, which often happens after a primary.
You know, I think it was a brief but, you know, positive conversation where he congratulated me and offered support in this transition. And I think New Yorkers deserve that kind of transition, one where we're working together to deliver for them.
You have to do and say things in primaries. And then now you are the actual Democratic Party representative. That's not always the same as being a member of the Democratic Socialists of America.
What's the difference between now and the time period of the 2020 primary with this far left politics getting out of control? It's just been more and more and more time for social media to kind of like go at work on the American people. Like one of the things that's been happening over time, I don't know, maybe since the fucking end of the Cold War, is just this constant undermining of Americans and their institutions, and the idea that like everything is failing you, everything is ruined, the oligarchy, the rich, the billionaires, everybody is out to get you, everything is failing, school isn't worth it, houses are too expensive, nothing is affordable, your government is lying to you, the healthcare is failing, like everything is fucked. And as that wears on more and more and more and more, it kind of clears the road for these more extremist ideologies that are off the sides of liberalism. Your far right people had a shot at it with Trump, and now your far left people are starting to kind of grow on the left. The rhetoric style is sloppiest in nature, but the ideology for some of these people is like, you know, Marxist shit, Marxist Leninist shit. And then there's a lot of like well-meaning people caught up, you know, in the wave. So like a lot of progressives or, you know, center left people that feel like we need a different take of things, I guess. I don't know.
How do you square that?
You know, I think I'm very proud of the campaign that I've run, one where I am presenting the vision that I have for New Yorkers here in this district. And that has always been the vision that I have for them, right? I've been very frank and honest about what that is. And even when folks disagree with my vision, I am very proud to say I will always.
What aspect of our country is currently working as intended? The stock market? I hope you remember your comment now. And if things truly go to shit and you actually do have to struggle for a single day in your life in an actual fucked country, you will have an appreciation for the country that you live in now. Because you, like the average American, in some regards, even the average struggling American has no idea what it means to actually struggle. You've hard times or weak times, easy times have created weak ninjas.
Just be honest about my position on things. And even if we don't agree, I will still fight for every single person in my district, because that is what they deserve. They deserve somebody who's going to fight to make sure that they have all of the resources that they need to lead a dignified life in, as New Yorkers.
I think you probably, and at some point we'll be done with this conversation, but I you probably want this conversation to go away, but there are the social media posts. Mm-hmm. You have had derogatory posts about Joe Biden and about Kamala Harris. You did apologize for the Kamala Harris one. I guess the Joe Biden one, you did say you called him a rapist.
Jesus.
Is that the kind of thing that just because you're sort of a digital native and that you do on the internet, or did you believe that and do you believe that?
You know, I think there was a lot of misunderstandings around where my posts, why they were deleted. I deleted my account many years back because I was focused on returning to organizing and my studies. I was working on a PhD program. And I think often we're asked to really have accountability for folks who have not held political office or have political power, and don't do the same for folks who are in positions of political power. Now, all that to say, I do regret my tweets, and that's something that I think has brought a lot of division, and that's something I regret, because as an organizer, my goal is always to unify our community and deliver for our community. And I think there is this question of why is it that when folks who do not have power, political power in this instance, are being held accountable.
Z-Corp, thanks for the 5 minute subs.
For things, we don't also hold accountable folks who do have political power, where the decisions they are making in office every single day have an enormous impact on millions of people in our country, right? And I think for folks who feel disempowered, it's important to make sure that we're getting to the heart of where that sense of disempowerment is coming
from. You actually said
that
with respect to your tweet about Kamala Harris. You said that it came from a place of you feeling disempowered.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think so many folks in our country feel that they don't have...
This is the same team conversation? I don't know. This is striking kind of a balance. Again, when you're coming up with hard quotes to use on people, it's a pretty challenging conversation. He softened it a little bit when he asked the question, but this is so far still fairly challenging. Or this is never going to be like a same team or like a friendly conversation. It might be like we're coming from different places, but we should be on the same team, which is... okay, kind of. I mean, like, if it's a Democrat or a left-leaning news network and you're interviewing a left-leaning, like, future congressperson, I don't know if I would expect it to be super hostile.
Of representation that is fighting for them, right? And that was part of why...
He's not pushing for real answers, though. I hate apologies guy because I think they're retarded. Like, just show me a different behavior. I mean, she said she regretted the tweets, and then she deleted them. I mean, what more? Like, when people say, like, accountability or, like, what do you want? I mean, she apologized for it. She said doesn't stand by it, I guess. I guess you could ask. He's like, so do you think Biden is a rapist? Might be a harder way to force the question. But, I mean, she said she apologized for it. What else do you want her to say about it?
I decided to run because I felt that abandonment from establishment politics that looks at my community as though it is merely statistics and not people who are worth fighting for and not the policies that will actually better their lives. And too often we've seen folks go into office and close the door behind them. But what we need is representation that's actually going to listen.
She never said anything about her stance. She just said she pulled down the tweets because they were divisive. And she wants to, yeah, true. I mean, he could push on the answer, like, do you think Biden is a rapist, I guess? Although I don't know if that's the best idea. Maybe she could, I guess. This is one of the reasons why I don't like, I do think that the populist part of America has kind of moved on from, I'll broadly refer to it as, like, cancel culture. But, like, when you're, like, coming at her with this whole, like, do you regret these bad tweets? It's like a cancel culture-ish narrative that doesn't have as much power anymore in society. And I think it's better to hit on an ideological ground. Like, you said, like, do you think that Joe Biden is a rapist? Like, is that a thing you still believe? It's like when a lot of people go after Hassan, they kind of do it from this, like, cancel culture perspective of, like, didn't you say this really bad thing? And a lot of these people kind of, like, laugh it off and move on because that's not how they're operating at this point. The questions need to be a little bit, they need to be more... It needs to be deeper. It needs to be more sophisticated, I guess. Not like, do you regret this tweet, but like, do you legitimately believe that, I guess, Joe Biden is a rapist and the Democrats stole the election for Bernie or whatever? If you want to mind the past and to be that, yeah.
The community, hear the frustrations and open that door and keep it propped open so that everyone can be part of their democracy.
So I want to talk to you because you are part of a group of people who want to hold people in power to account. Mm-hmm. And I want to talk to you about that with respect to Adriano Aspayat, money that has come into that campaign, including money from AIPAC-affiliated groups. But I need to set the context on that first because of this conversation about this rally after October 8th. you have strong beliefs about Israel's targeting of civilians in Gaza, which completely dwarfed what happened on October 7th. That said, I think I'm going to guess that you agree that innocent civilians shouldn't be targeted by anybody, regardless of the reason or the grievance. And that stands for Israel and that stands for Hamas.
Yeah, of course.
Because people have associated you with being supportive of what Hamas did on October 7th.
No, I have always been very clear that at the core of every one of my values is fighting for human dignity and human life. And I, you know, the reason I was there was at that rally is because I have been advocating for Palestinian human rights and dignity for most of my adult life. And knowing that historically what we have seen is that whenever there is an incident that happens in the region, there is an outsized reaction, one that costs thousands more people their lives. And that was what I was there to stand against, because it was a pattern that I had seen consistently throughout my organizing and throughout my experience in the region. I was actually in Palestine in 2014 in the West Bank, and I was there at a time where tensions were rising. And I believe it was almost either the day after I got back to the United States that Israel began bombing Gaza. And over 1,400 or maybe 1,800 folks or people were killed in Palestine and Gaza at that time. And I remember being home and scrolling through the faces and names of the people who had been killed and feeling completely powerless to do anything about it. People who looked so much like the people I had just left in the West Bank. And knowing that day that we were in a situation where something similar or bigger would come to pass, that was what I was there to stand against.
It wasn't as central an issue in your campaign as it was in the Brad Lander, Dan Goldman campaign. But the AIPAC and AIPAC affiliated money that came in against you was bigger. I mean, it was a lot of money. And you've been very critical of
She's getting away with not really answering questions,
relationship,
I guess.
But, with Israel and continued acceptance of...
IRI said this is the best answer she could give to this question. Do you agree? I mean, no, it really depends on... no. Like, so I guess it depends on what you mean by best answer. Like, assuming she actually hates Jews. Like, after hearing that, my assumption would be that she probably just kind of hates Jews. I think that'd be a fair assumption. Minorities will know this too, because there's this concept of like tone policing, or of hijacking one complaining group to like co-opt it for another one. A really great example of this is for a lot of women's issues. Like, a woman might complain that I feel like there's a lot of like sexism against me at the workplace, and then a man will come up and go like, oh well, at least you don't have to work in the coal mines like men do. And it's like, okay, well, fuck me, I guess. Like, I can't, if I complain about anything, you're just gonna like hijack it and turn it into something else. So the idea of like, oh, one of the largest terrorist attacks, maybe the largest single day terrorist attack in the history of the planet per population capita and everything, happened in Israel, and the next day I'm protesting on behalf of and rallying on behalf of the people that attacked them, that's just a crazy position to take, unless you hate Israel or hate Jews or whatever, right? I don't think there's any other way to see that. And people would see that if it was applied to any other situation, 100%.
Of funding inoffensive weapons. Tell me how that played out.
You know, I have from the very beginning been very critical of the fact that he has taken...
Also, keep in mind, too, I guess... Okay, oh, fuck. I'm trying to be not mean to her, but I'll be more critical now. The question that was asked to her was, like, about attending this rally and celebrating, you know, like, Hamas or condemning the violence. She didn't say at all in that answer that she condemned the violence, right? I don't think she even answered that question. Was that directly asked? Hold on, let me...
About this rally after October. I want to hold people in power.
Because that's a pretty easy thing to say. That's a very easy thing to virtue signal even. You can say, oh, of course, obviously, I condemn all violence, of course. I don't support the terrorist attack on October 7th. I don't think she said that at all, which would have been a very easy...
Hear the frustrations and open that door and keep it propped open so that everyone can be part of their democracy.
So I want to talk to you because you are part of a group of people who want to hold people in power to account. And I want to talk to you about that with respect to Adriano Aspayat, money that has come into that campaign, including money from AIPAC-affiliated groups. But
She wants me to take her seriously after calling Biden a rapist. She was probably on the Tara Reid boat, where there was that crazy woman who's now living in Russia who accused him of some crazy bullshit story. And then some people in the media, Ryan Grimm included, ran with it.
I need to set the context on that first because of this conversation about this rally after
Ryan Grimm might have been the one who broke that story, actually. I'm not sure. I don't remember.
October 8th. You have strong beliefs about Israel's targeting of civilians in Gaza, which completely dwarfed what happened on October 7th. That said, I think I'm going to guess that you agree that innocent civilians shouldn't be targeted by anybody, regardless of the reason or the grievance. And that stands for Israel and that stands for Hamas.
Yeah, of course.
Because people have associated you with being supportive of what Hamas did on October 7th.
No, I've always been very clear that at the core of every one of my values is...
This is like so in the weeds and so dog whistly and so nuanced. I don't think the interviewer understands, but I really don't like that he asked the wrong question, kind of. First of all, he gave her a layup, but he actually loaded it in a dog whistled way that I don't think you should ever say with regards to Israel-Palestine. You should always say it's not acceptable to kill civilians, right? You should never say it's not acceptable to kill innocent civilians, right? Because it seems like only a sun, like a ray of sunlight, but there's a huge world of difference between civilian and innocent civilian. Because depending on, I don't know how radical she is, but a lot of people will say, you know, you heard Hassan and the other weird dude talk about this on their show. There are no innocent civilians in Israel. They're all part of the IDF. They're all part of the settler colonial project. All of them are fair game, you know?
Fighting for human dignity and human life. And I, you know, the reason I was there at that rally is because I have been advocating for Palestinian human rights and dignity for most of my adult life. And knowing that historically what we have seen is that whenever there's an incident that happens in the region, there is an outsized reaction, one that costs thousands more people their lives. And
yeah, he set her up for a very soft yes. And then for her to, you know, march into this dumb speech. Yeah.
That was what I was there to stand against, because it was a pattern that I had seen consistently throughout my organizing and throughout my experience in the region. I was actually in Palestine in 2014 in the West Bank, and I was there at a time where tensions were rising. And I believe it was almost either the day I arrived or the day after I got back to the United States that Israel began bombing Gaza. And over 1,400 or maybe 1,800 folks or people were killed in Palestine and Gaza at that time. And I remember being home and scrolling through the faces and names of the people who had been killed and feeling completely powerless to do anything about it. People who look so much like the people I had just left in the West Bank. And knowing that day that we were in a situation where something similar or bigger would come to pass, that was what I was there to stand against.
It wasn't as central an issue in your campaign as it was in the...
I wonder if she ever tweeted about, or if she was ever part of that group of people that were supporting tearing down the posters of Israeli hostages. That was also, in my opinion, like an over the line thing. Like, bruh, why are you tearing down the poster of like literally just a fucking hostage? That's kind of unhinged, but I don't know.
Brad Lander, Dan Goldman campaign. But the AIPAC and AIPAC affiliated money that came in against you was bigger. I mean, it was a lot of money. And you've been very critical of Adriana Espaillat's relationship with Israel and continued acceptance of funding inoffensive weapons. Tell me how that played out.
You know, I have from the very beginning been very critical of the fact that he has taken over $670,000 directly to his campaigns from AIPAC. He has taken over $115,000 from ICE contractors, over $250,000 from real estate developers that are pricing people out of our city. To me, at the heart of this is the way that money...
What would these people say if you asked them what was the appropriate action for Israel to take after October 7th? They wouldn't give you an answer, or they would say they probably shouldn't have done almost anything or something. They might give you the special forces answer, but probably not. They would just say Israel caused October 7th and they don't really have a right to respond. I don't know if I've ever heard any of them answer that ever in my entire life.
He is a form of accountability, and to whom that accountability is to. So the fact that he was taking money from these institutions, from these right-wing lobbies, which is what AIPAC is, it's a right-wing lobby that backs Republicans and Donald Trump, and then also then backs Democrats who purport to be progressive while voting time and time again in the interests of institutions like AIPAC. And so I was highly critical of that because I see the impact of that on my community every single day. When you have someone who's taking money from the real estate developers that are pricing us out, and it's no wonder then that in a district that is the second poorest congressional district in the state and by some measures the country, that it is so deeply unaffordable for folks when the rent rises to the average of $4,000 for a two-bedroom in Harlem or Washington Heights. And so, you know, I think the fact that so much money was poured in, not only directly into his campaign, but also in outside spending, where we saw over $7 million. We won't know how much of that was AIPAC for a number of days.
Not, a lot of that funding came in after June 10th,
exactly.
Which means nobody has to report it for
exactly.
until the next cycle. Donald Trump talked about communists being elected last night. There were three of you in the congressional races, and there were five people who Zoran Mamdani supported in state races. All eight of you won. How do you avoid becoming the ad for Republicans? You know, we've watched Zoran Mamdani, and he's managed it very well. We've watched Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who has managed it very well. She's become a sort of a very policy-centered person. I don't think she's changed any of her views. How do you navigate this road? Because now you are a member of the Democratic delegation. You will be a member of the Democratic delegation, and you're going to appear in all sorts of people's ads, all sorts of Republicans' ads to say, this is what you're going to get if you vote for the Democrats, a communist.
You know, I think that framing is one that I've been very proud to be able to say I don't respond to, one in which I have been very intentional to say I won't be reactive. We are presenting a vision of what we're fighting for. And I think for far too long, we have had politics that is reactive to what Republicans are doing. What we need is Democrats who are actually going to present a positive vision, one that sets the tone for what we should be talking about, which is the issue of affordability, which is the issue of how our budgets are moral documents. If we say that we want to invest in working people in this country, then we need to do that, and our budgets need to reflect that. If we say that we value immigration and immigration justice, we need to make sure that that is also reflective in our policy. And so I'm very proud of a campaign that we built that centers those ideals, that centers those values and that vision for what we need as a community. And that's how I'll continue to move forward in Congress. And I think that for far too long, this reactive conversation of what we should be afraid of has prevented us from being able to have a politics of hope and a politics of life that Democrats can actually identify with. When the majority of the Democratic base has been seeking for the Democratic Party to actually fight for them, that should be the language that we should be leading with.
Thank you for joining us tonight. Again, congratulations.
Thank
and
you so much.
We
keep in mind that it's kind of funny, like this is all kind of like propaganda-ish. Like everything she said, I agree with. Like, you know, why let them frame the conversation around, you know, calling you communist or whatever else? Like, that's a really good point. So then why do you guys do it with every single Democrat in framing every single thing around AIPAC or Israel-Palestine? Now, obviously, they're going to have a reason why. Well, it's because if you're AIPAC or Israel-funded, it's such an atrocity to global injustice, or AIPAC conservative interest of the United States also affects affordability. Like, actually, well, let me tell you why that issue actually does affect the affordability thing like I say it does. So that's why we should talk about it. But
party, if not its voters. And what we saw yesterday evening were Democrats across the city turning out and voting for a new kind of politics.
A slate of three candidates endorsed by Zoran Mamdani won their Democratic primaries in deep blue House districts. In the 7th district, Democratic Socialist Claire Valdez won the open seat over a pretty progressive opponent endorsed by the retiring Democratic member of Congress. In the 10th district, Progressive City Comptroller Brad Lander defeated incumbent Dan Goldman in a race that was largely about Israel. Both men are Jewish. Lander ran as a self-proclaimed liberal Zionist, but hit Goldman on voting against legislation to block military aid to Israel and taking money from pro-Israel lobbying groups. And then the biggest upset of the night, four-term Representative Adriano Espaillat, head of the Congressional Hispanic Caucus and the first undocumented immigrant to serve in Congress, lost his Harlem Bronx district in an upset to a leftist community organizer named Daria Liza Avila Chevalier, a Democratic socialist who also believes in abolishing prisons, police, and all deportations. She might be the most left-wing candidate to ever win a Democratic primary in our lifetime. There's been a lot of focus on her old tweets, which she has deleted and mostly apologized for. I'm fine with that. My general position is to give people a chance who want to take back something they said or posted. Certainly would love to take back things that I posted. Here's where I have a problem. She has not apologized for attending an anti-Israel rally on October 8th, 2023, a rally that was condemned by Zoran Mamdani, AOC, and Brad Lander. The other problem I have, she sat for an interview with the New York editorial board last week where she said she's against all deportations. She's for open borders because, quote, bordering is a very modern construct, actually. She wants to abolish prisons and refused to say when asked, she got four different chances on this, refused to say that a convicted murderer should be sentenced to any jail time at all. Maybe she turns over a new leaf in Congress and like her voting record doesn't match some of these more extreme positions. I hope so. But I think the reason I bring this up is because when Democrats get questions about this, I think the answer is easy and important to give, which is that she currently holds a range of views that go from moronic to abhorrent. And not only are those views not aligned with most Democrats in the country, nearly all Democrats in the country, actually most elected Democratic socialists, but like, I don't even think they align with like a lot of the people who probably voted for her. So like, I think people should just, you just gotta say that.
Why, where was any of this, the October 8th energy for Hassan? Is it just because he's friends with him? It can't really be that stupid, right?
I mean, the good faith interpretation would be he hasn't seen like the really negative Hassan stuff, but
so he's just incompetent and retarded.
Has. the steel man would be, do you expect him to watch all of Hassan's stuff?
If they're going to platform the guy, I would think they have staffers or somebody. We're only making millions of dollars, though, doing YouTube shit. So maybe they just don't have the money to hire an extra staff and you need all the extra money for your fifth Lambo or something. I mean, what do people spend all their money on that make all this fucking money in this space? This is my position on these DSA weirdos. I don't like a lot of them because of the weird fucking commie socialist baggage and shit that is coming along with all this bullshit. But that being said, I don't know this. I think that main lady was like the spookiest one. How old is she? She looks
young.
Like she's in her 20s.
She's like in her late. Let me look her up. What was her name?
If you're 32 years old, if she was tweeting some unbelievably fucking retarded extremist shit 7 years ago, I don't give that much. I'm curious what her positions are now, what she would say now, and how she would vote now. I don't give that much of a fuck about trying to character or going back through old tweets to find people. Just find out what their positions are now, get them to talk about things. So, like, if she's giving talks now about borders or whatever the fuck else, then that's worth criticizing. But the October 8th thing also kind of is, but I'm sorry. Listen to all my Jewish friends. I love you, but, like, you guys are, I'm sorry, you're gone. You gotta be, you're out of here. You're out of here!
Where are they gonna go?
Back to Brooklyn, Mutin. That's saying she's not walked back any of her posts about the border police of Ukraine because she still agrees with all that. She is a tanky. I don't know.
On October 8th?
That's crazy, man.
...fully apologized for. I'm fine with that. My general position is to give people a chance who want to take back something they said or posted. Certainly would love to take back things that I've posted. Here's where I have a problem. She has not apologized for attending an anti-Israel rally on October 8th.
Uh-oh. That's crazy, man.
Uh-oh.
That's crazy. Bro, please talk to Ben Hamas Rhodes about this, please.
Uh-oh.
Okay? Please. Like, that's... She. Why should she apologize for that?
Yeah, bro. What are you, anti-Hamas?
Oh, I'm sorry. Was 75 years of apartheid. Too soon? How many years of apartheid?
So brave. Brave.
How many years of apartheid should the Palestinian people withstand until it's appropriate for
a single protest?
There to be a pro-Palestine rally at any point.
True. Like I said, pro-Palestine and anti-Israel
why,
is the same thing.
Like, but, okay. I don't know why liberals think this is like a good line.
Yeah, liberals.
I don't think this tracks with the average person. I'm not kidding when I say this. I don't think, like, guys, test it with your parents, your lived up parents that probably are now anti-Israel, because I want to hear, like, I want to hear why you have no clue what you're talking about. Jewish Jack 002, is this are you
Jewish
a Brandon
Jack
supporter? I'm Jewish Jack. It's the MAC attack. Like, I'll give you something you can understand, okay, as a Brandon supporter.
Uh-oh.
I think it is unbelievably inappropriate for Joe Brandon to fly to Israel right after October 7 and give Benjamin Netanyahu a bear hug than it is for an American citizen to protest against Israel's apartheid and protest at the behest of Palestinians on October 8.
Wow.
Straight up. One caused incalculable material damage and aided and abetted in Israel's genocide.
Wow.
As it was aiding and abetting in Israel's apartheid and occupation prior to October 7 and certainly after October 7.
It's funny, too, because I know that he's downplaying that rally. If you were doing anti-Israel rallies on October 8th, these were probably the most fucking anti-Semitic, like, hatred, vitriol, pro-Hamas, pro-terrorism, pro-kill Jew, whatever protest you could find in the world.
Is just being on the right side of history, the right side of a moral issue, but perhaps a little too early for the taste of many liberals.
Libs.
Anyone else lib-cucked?
You know what I mean?
It was that same rally the dude that shared about the hang gliders? Oh.
Is 9/11 for people that are into Israel? Most of us don't have that relationship with Israel. Some of us didn't even have that with America after 9/11. Yeah, but it just, like, doesn't make any sense to say it right now because, like Jon Favreau is not a massive dick rider of Israel. Okay, he's not. Like, he's probably more pro-Israel than the average person is because he was in fucking, he worked in the Obama administration, but he's...
Remember, they hate Obama. Don't forget that. They do. I know, like, I think, like, 55% of you believe me when I say that, but they do.
Also, certainly not as, like, it's not a genocide, but all right. Oh, you're a denier.
Uh-oh.
You're a denier of the...
Is this controlled opposition? account created 2 months ago. Guy's name is Jewish Jack.
The Israeli genocide. Okay, what else do you like to deny? Are there any other things that you like to deny? I just hope you understand that one day this will be akin to Holocaust denial.
Yep, always Nazi shit, always.
Which is completely unacceptable.
Yeah.
Just so you understand. Like, you're just, you know, a modern-day neo-Nazi at that.
Remember, they hate the Holocaust, not because of the victims, but because of the perpetrators. That's how these guys always wrap themselves, and they're like, we're not anti-Semitic flag, because anti-Semitism, to them, isn't about hating Jews. It's about being a white nationalist. Don't ever forget that.
A point where you're like, nah, it's not real. It's not a real genocide, dude. And I know all the talking points. You're going to be like, the UN is lying. The ICJ is lying. The ICC is biased. They're all anti-Semitic. Everyone's anti-Semitic. That's why they anti-Semitically are saying that Israel has done a genocide. Obviously, it wasn't. It was a defensive genocide, and therefore, it's not a genocide. Could you help explain his POV? I don't understand what his point is. He's saying that no one could have known that Israel was going to do this early, and that it's inappropriate to protest against Israel so close to October 7. Now, to these guys, my question always is, what's the sufficient timeline?
Oh, my God.
What's the sufficient timeline? Like, when would it be appropriate? Is it after a week? Is it after Israel killed as many...
I'm so curious. What is he looking at chat, or does he have notes prepared for him? I wish I knew that.
Civilians as the Palestinian resistance had on October 7. What is the point where it's appropriate to protest against Israel? Because the interesting situation here is that history did not start on October 7. The events that predated October 7 is what triggered October 7. And that is 75 years of subjugation, apartheid, forcing people to live in this hermetically sealed open-air prison.
Yeah, there we go. Nice.
Destroying their lives and livelihoods, destroying all hope, showing the 2.5 million to 3 million Palestinians that live in this open-air prison known as Gaza, that Israel was not going to ever diplomatically solve or resolve this problem. Endless violence and endless starvation, counting of calories, all this stuff. It's the death and destruction of what it looks like to...
He has notes. Generally speaking, whenever he goes full screen, he's reading something. You'll notice him hitting more buzzwords every time he full cams. Huh.
Not have...
That wouldn't surprise me.
What it looks like to try and maintain some sort of non-resistance posture in the West Bank. So Israel left these people in a dire state, in a desperate state, with no options whatsoever, okay? And after 75 years of apartheid, occupation, ethnic cleansing...
I feel like there are two things you tend to look at as a streamer, three if you're camera trained. You look at your whatever content you've got. So when you see my eyes looking over here, I'm looking at my... I'm looking at whatever content I've got, so my game or Hassan here. And then the second place you'll look is your chat. Those are the two places I think that most streamers will look at. So, like, I say some crazy shit, look for somebody to ban. And then if you're really good, I never do this, some people do this, you look at the camera, right? I want to talk to you and I want to be more personable, so I'm going to look at the camera and be all, you know, social and blah, 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 blah. But generally, you're looking at your chat and you're looking at your, and you're looking at your content. I wonder, so his eyes go between two places, but he's full screened and he's not looking at the camera. So one of these places his eyes are going to is the chat, I would imagine. And then I'm curious what the second one is. Could it be like whatever notes he has to hit the talking points?
Forcing.
You could tell, I guess, by based on when he pauses. It does look like the downward eyes here is looking at the whatever he has printed off or whatever.
The endless violence and endless starvation, counting of calories, all this stuff. It's the death and destruction of what it looks like.
Oh, we might actually be able to look at the reflection of his glasses until actually. I didn't.
Endless violence and endless starvation, counting of calories, all this stuff. It's the death and destruction.
Here you can see he has netted square LEDs, kind of like my Nanlite things here. That's the lighting right here. I don't know if you can see his monitors actually.
Of what it looks like to not have what it looks like to try and maintain some sort of non-resistance posture in the West Bank. So Israel.
I think his notes are in the bottom right, and I think Chad is to the left. That'd be my guess. Stage left, sorry. The Chad is to the right. I think in terms of camera. Stage left is he's looking at the chat. Like, I think this is chat, and I think stage right is his notes. That'd be my guess.
Left these people in a dire state, in a desperate state, with no options whatsoever. Okay. And after 75 years of apartheid occupation, ethnic cleansing, forcing people to live in this complete surveillance state with no autonomy whatsoever, no future whatsoever, of course.
Do you think Hassan is a more dangerous operative than Fuentes in terms of the politics right now? Maybe. I feel like Fuentes, I've maintained this a lot, that he kind of fucked himself over the Kanye era. The big issue that I have with Hassan, though, is usually that he is... is that he lies. I don't like subversive people. Like, Fuentes is at least fairly honest about his politics, but is this the current room he's in? Do you think he's looking at this chat usually? These, I think, are YouTube comments and then another chat. He has chat open twice. Or do you think this is OBS? Or what am I looking at? What the fuck is this monitor? Or is there a mirror here? Oh, I think there's a mirror here or something. Okay, yeah, so it looks like his chat is over here, and then if he's got notes, they're over here maybe. Oh, and then is he scrolling to the next page? Because right there, when he stopped, usually that's like you stop to look at chat to see how chat's responding. But then he started scrolling. So maybe, I don't know.
Surveillance state with no autonomy whatsoever, no future whatsoever. Of course.
Maybe make sure he's hit them all and then he scrolls.
Of course people were going to fight back. And it was going to be gruesome because the actions of the people who are occupied... Right, the actions of the militant resistance that forms after 75 years of apartheid is going to match the intensity and the violence of their subjugation by the occupier. This is how it works. To steel man the liberal position on this, they're basically saying the genocidal response had not yet happened. So any rally is about how resistance is justified on 10-8 is just celebrating 10-7. Personally, I think that doesn't really track their account.
Now it sounds like he's reading a comment, but here he's looking at the right one. Stage right, right?
Counting on, they're counting in decades of blockade on Gaza and apartheid in the West Bank. Yes. Anyone that knew enough about the situation to literally go out to a pro-Palestinian rally on 10-8.
He could have himself on his left. You would never look at your own, you would never look at OBS, I don't think. That's weird. I don't think you have a... Yeah, the other thing is he could have somebody... putting comments in there for him to respond to. Maybe, but I don't know how active.
Knew exactly what Israel was going to do and knew exactly what Israel...
Well, let me try switching it in my brain. Let's assume the notes are left and then the chat is stage right, I guess.
No future whatsoever.
Wait, here's a live stream of that October 8th rally. Oh, I don't give a fuck.
Of course.
So is this looking at chat? Maybe. Because it could be scrolling chat.
Of course,
here.
People were going to fight back. And it was going to be gruesome because the actions of the people who are occupied, right? The actions of the militant resistance that forms after 75 years of apartheid is going to match the intensity and the violence.
Another more clear image. Well, I think you're very mindful of what's on your screen when you're doing photo shoots. I'm always mindful of this. So I don't know if he would have notes or something. You would never see it here. Also, I think this might be a lot older, right? This picture?
Of their subjugation by the occupier. This is how it works. To steel man the liberal position on this, they're basically saying the genocidal response had not yet happened. So any rally is about how resistance is justified on 10-8 is just celebrating 10-7. Personally, I think that doesn't really track because they are counting on... they're counting in decades of blockade on Gaza and apartheid in the West Bank. Yes.
I think the only thing you can see in his reflection and his glass surface is lights.
Knew enough about the situation to literally go out to a pro-Palestinian rally on 10-8. Knew exactly what Israel was going to do and knew exactly what Israel had done leading up to October 7. It's that simple. I knew. You heard my commentary on 10-8. Like, here, I'll take it one step further. I kickstarted the fundraising initiatives for Gaza a week in after October 7 when no one else was touching it with a 10-foot pole. I talked to someone.
Oh, actually, never mind. We can determine 100%.
In ANIRA.
Over here.
One of the many organizations that we...
Fuck me. Hold on. I have to think of how reflections are going to work.
We fundraise for.
His hand comes forward. We're seeing the hand to the right. The chat is stage left. The chat is over here. And this is something else here, right? Because we see this scrolling over here. His hand is blocking this over here. This is stage right on from the camera.
$0.8 million or something larger than that. Obviously, the total was much larger than that. But just this community alone.
I think that this is his chat and then this is whatever else he's got.
We raised around $2 million for PCRF, Palestinian Red Crescent, ANIRA, right? And
hold on.
I had to coordinate with organizations that were active on the ground because many of the organizations were not even allowed into or were not allowed to operate in Gaza, all this stuff, right?
You can see the chat like scrolling here, yeah.
Here's the thing.
Oh, so if the chat is scrolling from over there and he was reading a comment from the right, there's somebody marking comments in chat for him. That's not necessarily bad, by the way. I'm just curious because I'm so curious where, because he's gotten so much more propaganda heavy. I wonder if there's like somebody that helps him figure that out. Hold on, I'm kind of curious on this now. He's probably looking at himself. You don't, as a streamer, you don't tend to look at yourself on video. I think you would lose that habit very fast. It's a very bad thing to do when you're recording anything or whatever. It's very distracting and it just doesn't help you. I don't know. I mean, unless some other big streamer wants to come out and say they do that. I would be surprised if there are streamers that looked at themselves regularly on camera.
Here's the thing.
Oh, wait, what was that change?
Hold coordinate on. With organizations that were active on the ground because many of the organizations were not even allowed into or were not allowed to operate in Gaza, all this stuff, right? So, thing.
New picture? Back to a notepad maybe or something?
Should I apologize? Oh, no, it's 1.2 million. Sorry. Should I apologize? Was that too soon? How could I have known that a genocide was going to take place?
Oh, no, wait. He opened this. Ooh, I wonder if that... Wait. That might be his streaming screen. In which case, I don't think he would put notes on it. Wait. Hold on. Because his chat is on this screen too, right?
Oh, no. It's 1.2. Here's the thing.
Okay,
here's
so
the thing.
He opens this.
Was going to take...
And then this is what he just opened on that...
Place.
When he's looking down here, he is looking at his chat, right? You see his mouse moving.
That's it.
And he's looking. So the left has to be something different, right? Stage left. He might be using some kind of ultra-wide, extra-tall dog shit screen. Nah, that would be crazy, no?
He desperately need me to cover. Or they're one, you know, local candidate running for state office or something that they need me to go and promote. I'm one guy. I'm a one-person operation, okay? I'm already maxed out on the resources. I can't do everything all at once.
Damn, the skinwalking. Good one. It looks like he's scrolling chat over here, I think, but he's not, right? It's like that up and down there? Is it maybe just chat on both screens? Or like that looks like scrolling chat, right? Scrolling down and up, scrolling down.
You need
down.
An RV and you can travel to way more states? Are you insane? I have to fly everywhere. I can't RV to places. That's way slower. What are you talking about? I cannot stand stream traffic controlling. I'll never understand coming on someone else's stream and telling them what to talk about.
The fuck is my thing going crazy? Stop. Yeah, that's chat for sure. Right? It's gotta be. I don't know. All right. We'll dig.
Remember to hit that like and subscribe and don't forget the notification bell so that my videos show up right in your feed.